2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 12, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This morning I speak about the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse is a conscious reminder to Christians today. The Lord is not slack. He's not slow concerning his promise, or his promises, I would rather say. Not one of them, but in particular, the promise of his second coming. He's not slow. There's much consternation in our world today, in our cities around this country, in our own city. There is much worry, and there is much cause for alarm. And you just have to listen, and you will hear. If you're a Christian, you would have some reason to be concerned. If you're not, well, you just fit into the flow. What we are seeing, what we are reading, what we are hearing is a cause for us to consider the Word of God in the light of eternity that we've just read about. Many Christians may not be too concerned about the events in our time, but this present world is being prepared for the day of the Lord. Just recently, I hear how men are making a big ado about the legalization of marijuana. Just a few years ago, dope was outlawed in the civilized world. People are yet behind bars for small portions of marijuana. And yet today, it is being hailed and adulated. I hear one woman, and it happened to be a black woman, asking, "Well, what is the big deal? I've been smoking pot all my life." And it's nothing to laugh about, because it's just another sin that has given legislature by the ungodly governments in this country. And it's trickling down to the Caribbean as well, because when America sneezes, they catch it the next day. So watch it. And I'm saying these things to us as the people of God, hopefully. Just a few years ago, you know how this was. But just because evil society has made the practice of sin law, it doesn't mean that it is right and should be adulated by Christians. Very recently, one of our own, who sat right here in this church, I visited with him, Brother Colin and I, openly confess that he is going back to pot because it is legal. And he even quoted where he was going to get his supply. Sat right here in this church. It's legal. May we be reminded of the words of the prophet 700 years before Jesus, who said, "Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This is the world. This is the city today that you and I live in. And the Bible says, "War or judgment unto such ones." Isaiah 5, verse 20. Today, many in the church are falling away I addressed the subject of idolatry a few Sunday nights ago, and idolatry is in our church, where things are placed before God. And I plan to get back to that subject of idolatry. And one of the things I cited was Sunday, where people are taking jobs in the face of the fact that the Lord has given us the Lord's Day. And they're not considering the kind of job. It's not a job of necessity, but it is a job of preference. And we have become idolaters in putting things before God. I addressed that, and I plan to get back to that subject. But the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, specifically his second coming, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I would explain that text, because it is not what many of us think it means. Is God is not teaching universal salvation. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches universal salvation. The word all is not used in a universal way, but it is used in based on the context that it is mentioned. And if you read Peter, you see Peter is really addressing strangers that are scattered, and believers who are suffering. And that's the context of the word all. But as we consider these thoughts this hour, we will simplify this passage by using a few simple headings quickly. Lord's patience with man. Two, the Lord's plan for the age. And three, the calling of the Lord's people. Quickly, these three things that we would meditate on. First, the Lord's patience. And it's in the text. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise. Some men count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us. Peter is speaking of a peculiar and a particular promise which men today are scoffing at, making light of, and some of them are in the church. Where is the promise of his coming? You know, people say that. I've been hearing that all my life. What else is new? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. As far as you and I can see, these ones that are scoffing are not strangers to the scriptures. They know the Bible. They are in the church. They confess that they are aware of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. They are aware of Bible history. They confess that there was a beginning. Since the beginning, they're not atheists. They're not ones who believe that the world started 16 million years ago. They speak about the beginning. They're creationists. They're not evolutionists like those in the public school system here. They are aware of God's word. But they were not believers. They were mockers. They were scoffers in the church. One can acknowledge the word of God and not believe what the word of God declares. But the Lord is patient with his people, with his elect. He's patient with those that he has marked out to save. Think of yourself. Think of yourself, Nigel. I think of myself. I remember long, long time ago, I used to be coming in early Sunday morning, people going to church, and they coming home from a party. It was embarrassing to be coming home like that and seeing people looking at you as it dawned. You should be thankful that God has saved you out of that, because he's patient. He's long-suffering. Lord is not asleep. He's very patient with his elect. But he has a limit with men. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:20, this is 1 Peter 3:20, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight, souls were saved by water. God's people are always in the minority. Not a big lot, a few. Out of a lot, the masses, a few. The remnant, eight people. Never rain, poking fun at Noah. He's building a boat on dry land. Every nail that went in that ark was a testimony of judgment. Today, as the gospel continue to go forth in the church here and beyond, God is waiting for you, unrepentant sinner, for you that is toying with God's grace. He's waiting on you. You are one of the reasons why God is waiting. As the gospel continues to go, he's waiting till the last of his elect surrender to his grace. I don't know who they are, and I can never know. I don't have that vision, but God knows, and he's patient. And I preach deliberately, like if all are lost. During this period of grace, you and I should be seeking grace. I seek grace every day. Lord, just in case I am deceiving myself, save me from hell. I'm not taking nothing for granted, not even my sinful heart. I seek him every day. What about you? If I can do that, surely you ought to be doing that. And as you're doing that, you should be showing meaningful, gameful efforts of repentance. God isn't slow. Of course, the all, as I was saying, that God desires to come to repentance is not the known world or everybody in the church, but those in the world that are given to Christ. God is not slow to those ones. They are marked out. The Father gave the Son a people, and he's not slow in bringing them to repentance. So understand, this is what Peter is saying. But we must preach, like all need to come to repentance. Second, the Lord's plan, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. That's the Lord's plan. You may have a different one, but this is God's plan. There are many references to the day of the Lord. Sometimes the day of the Lord refers to the day of his first coming. Malachi 3, 1 and 2. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. This is the first coming. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. This is a prophecy concerning the Lord's first coming, where he came to cleanse his people from their sins, as John the Baptist preached. And he came, and this prophecy also was predicting John the Baptist. But Peter is speaking of the Lord's second coming. And he asks this rhetorical question also that can relate to his second coming. Who may abide? Who will remain in the day of his coming? Well, you know what the answer is. Only those who are found washed in the blood of Christ. But Peter is speaking of the Lord's primarily his second coming. He comes as a thief when people are not looking. They're not ready. They're not concerned about what is going on around them. Peter tells us what his plan is for the ages in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt, the things that we love, the infrastructure, the various things, the beautiful cathedrals shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Remember the book of Isaiah spoke of the day of the Lord. If you turn with me quickly to Isaiah 51, I'll just read a passage to you. Isaiah 51, verses 5 and 6. It says there, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heaven shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner." But notice what Isaiah says. "But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." That's a promise. That's a reminder of salvation. That's a comfort to those who are seeking the Lord Jesus. Ponder these words, brethren, this morning. Don't look for another plan for this world. Don't look for two comings or two days of the Lord like the dispensationists taught us. They're wrong. There's only one second coming. And they get agitated when they say this. Why it is called the second coming if they say it's two second comings? There's only one second coming. It's like there was only one first coming. That's why it is called the second coming. Where do you get this from? I hear a guy struggling just recently to say that Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday because he can't get 3 days and three nights in Friday through Sunday. What he failed to understand is impossible. Jesus was crucified on the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Friday. Read Leviticus. Why do people get all bent out of shape by trying to twist these things into what they mean? And the first fruits were waved on the Sunday before the priests. That's when he rose from the dead. And it was after the Sabbath that the first fruits were waved, Curtis. Read Leviticus. After the Sabbath, count seven Sabbaths, which is seven times seven is 49, right? On the 50th, and that's what Pentecost means, 50. Lord is precise, man. Where did he get these things from, man? Destroying the Word of God. He's laboring to get Jesus crucified a Thursday or a Wednesday. And Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples the Thursday. You see, we don't harmonize the Bible. And we would always get into trouble. The Lord's plan. Don't look for another one. Second coming. Thirdly, the Lord's calling to his people. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The Lord's people. Calling. That's it. What manner of people ought you and me to be? Peter asks this question and gives the answer. In all holy conduct and godliness. The word conversation, the word behavior or conduct. The world around us is taking shape. Don't get overcharged with surfeiting or surfeiting, we want to call it. Don't get overcharged. It's taking shape for what God has promised. God's people are called to holy living. And Peter named a few things that the Lord's people ought to be doing in the light of his coming. And I would try to wind down with these things quickly as we think about them. The first one is looking. Looking. Verse 12 and 13. Looking. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13 says, use the word again, nevertheless we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Looking. Now this is not an idle looking. It is not going out in the open and looking up like this. Remember when some years ago I looked through the window to see if the Lord had come. I was disappointed. The Lord didn't come nowhere. And that's the problem. The reason you shouldn't listen to people. Look through the window. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's like 18 hours earlier than us a day began. We are behind. We are in the western hemisphere. The sun already rose in the eastern hemisphere. But it's not an idle looking. It is an active looking. We don't look into the sky for his coming. We look at the spiritual condition of the church. Look at the church. Look at your church. We look at the spiritual coldness in our lives and see if we are making ready. Look. Look at these things. Paul says that the church would fall away. That the love of many will grow cold. Look. Look at those things in your church. You don't have to go very far to look. Look right here. It's an active looking. And as you look, you should not forget evangelism, missions. Look, go with the gospel. You go because you are looking. You spend and you are spent. You go with the gospel because you are indeed looking. Understand what I'm saying? It's a constant looking. It's a careful looking. Titus 2:13 tells us this. Looking for the glorious appearing, the blessed hope of our glorious God and Savior. So one of the things that you and I ought to be doing is looking. And I give you some reasons. Not looking outside, not that kind of look. Look inside. Look. There's a lot of references. Bible says that if the good man of the house knew the hour his master was coming, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken up. Just recently, we had over four feet of water in our basement. I felt violated to look down there and see water up four steps.
from the basement. If I
had adventure down there, I probably would have had electrocuted. That's how quick things of this world will be taken away from us. Look, the second word, the second action word Peter called us to is knowing. Verse 17, looking, knowing. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. God doesn't want his people to be ignorant. He wants us to know. Know if we are truly converted. Since you know these things. Some of us don't know these things. We don't know them. We come to church all the time, but we don't know them. And yet Peter says, since you know these things. Knowing is believing. Some professing Christians don't even know the difference between the epistles and the gospels. Knowing. Some don't know the difference between the prophets and the writings. You know, there are prophets and there are writings in the Bible. Peter says we should know these things that relate to the Lord's coming. So, in light of this, looking, knowing, three, last, growing. Notice these action words, growing, verse 18. The growing grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. There is not a single Christian, no matter where he lives, no matter what his office is, there's not a single one of us that are not called to grow in grace. You hear what I say? You know why? The time that you and I cease from growing is when you are dead. And we should be growing. Some of us are the same way today as I met you 25 years ago. Same way, complaining, unfaithful, up and down. Peter calls us to grow in grace. Grow in grace. Not in weight. He can grow in weight, but he calls us to grow in grace. And you are never too old to grow in grace. And when you grow in grace, you'll be gracious. You'll be gracious to people. Growing glorifies God. It glorifies God. That's how the text ends. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior, Lord of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 12 are verses, text to consider in our meditation. But the exhortation is particularly to the Lord's people. I show you the Lord's patience, the Lord's plan, and the Lord's people. In the light of scoffing, mocking the Lord's commands and his promises, we are called to these three things. Remember, okay? Let's pray. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, it is not often that I am granted this opportunity to come before our people first in the Lord's day. We pray, Lord, that you would use your word
to help us, especially as we see the erosion of the home, the world around us, and the church. We pray that you will help us to look towards heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.